Well, good morning, everyone. Great to be here to share the Word of God with you this morning. For those of you who are new here today or perhaps watching online for the first time and you don't know who I am, my name is Joel Wells and I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. And so grateful that you're tuning in this morning or have come to be a guest with us today. 6 weeks ago, I launched a series of messages with you under the theme of out of focus. And we've been talking about how important having a right focus is because our focus is what determines our trajectory in life. Unfortunately, it's easy to get out of focus, or it's easy to get focusing on the wrong things. And so over the course of these last 5 weeks, we've been doing some evaluating, some re-evaluating, and trying to fine-tune where we are placing our attention. Last Sunday, my father pinch-hit for me. In a crazy busy week, I was sort of moaning and crying in his office on Wednesday about how overwhelmed I was. It was my birthday. And it was last week. You missed it. He gave me the best birthday present ever when he said, "Son, why don't you let me preach for you this Sunday?" And I said, "Okay." Took me about 2 seconds to take him up on it. It was a great birthday present. It actually really helped me last week. And if you listened to his message last week, you know God wanted him to preach. It was a powerful message. It helped me. And I think it was one of those messages that if you'd missed it, you need to go back and tune in. Because there was just some things from it. You know, there are some messages where I can't even remember what I preached last week, and I know you don't. But then there's some other messages where there's just some key thoughts that just stay with you for a long time. And I feel like that message was one of those. I believe God wanted us to hear it last week, but I'm back today, and I'm trusting that what I have to share with you today is what the Lord wants us to hear as well. Hopefully there will be a few things that will stick with you for a while. I want to conclude this series that we've been doing, and I thought today would be the conclusion, but as I got into what I was preparing this week, I thought I need 2 Sundays to wrap this up. So this is going to be part one of a 2-part conclusion this morning. And so I want to look at the importance of having a forward focus today, and I want to look at some signs that maybe you've gotten out of focus in this area. I'm sure that those of you who are drivers here this morning, you got your driver's license, have realized how important it is to be keeping your eyes looking ahead while driving. Have you noticed that you tend to turn in the direction of your focus? Sometimes there are amazing things to look at, and it's great to turn and catch a glimpse. But if you don't get your eyes back looking forward quickly, you know you're going to be in the ditch. There are other times, perhaps, where you had this experience where you looked down to tune the radio or something fell on the floor or something like that, and you turn down to look for it, and you look up, and all of a sudden, you're right on the back of somebody. Have you ever had that experience, and your heart's panicking and or racing because there's panic? You slammed on the brakes, you almost ran into the back of someone. Has anybody else had that experience? Some of you have actually ran into the back of somebody. I've had a few of those moments. I've seen people walking. In fact, truthfully, I've done the same thing where I've been looking at my cell phone and walked into a door or something like that. So consumed with what's right in front of us that we forget to look where we're going. You know, perhaps even worse than looking down or to the side is looking backwards. Moving forward while looking backwards never works. It always ends in disaster. And that's true whether walking or driving, but it's equally true in our own lives. There are lots of distractions. We've been talking about that are happening all around us, right in front of us right now. If our eyes are on these things for any length of time, we're going to crash or we're going to hit the ditch. Sometimes there are good things that we need to celebrate. We need a point at, like I find myself doing with my kids when we're driving on vacation. Kids, look at the mountains, look at the waterfall, look at the deer. They seem to be missing the good things while we're driving. Sometimes it's good to even pull over and pause for a bit and have a good look. drink it all in, celebrate. But there are other things ahead to experience. And so we need to keep looking forward. Other times there are spills or negative distractions or things that maybe we need to ignore, that can't be ignored. We need to pull over and deal with them, you know. My dad used to pull over and deal with some distractions in the back seat when I was little. I think he'd go to jail for that now. But sometimes there are things that we need to pull over and clean up and deal with. But we can't live there. There's things ahead, and we got to get our eyes back looking forward. You know, some of us have things in our past that we need to leave back there. We need to get our eyes off of those things and get our eyes forward, or we'll fail to reach the destination that God has for us. Having a forward focus is crucial to living our lives with success and with purpose. But here's the other thing. How we view the future will shape how we live our lives right now. Living with a forward focus is to live your life with vision. When you have no vision, you're in trouble. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a destination in mind, or if you can't look ahead, if you can't see the consequences of where you're going to make some bad choices right here and now. If you don't have a forward focus in your marriage, you won't do the things now that will keep you thriving for a long time. If you don't have a forward focus in your education, you're going to trade studying for partying. Especially if you're not a Christian. If you don't have a forward focus in your athletics, you're going to trade training for sleep. If you don't have a forward focus with your finances, you're going to squander now what you're going to need tomorrow. If you don't have a forward focus in spiritual matters, you're going to trade eternal treasure for that which is temporary. I could go on. A forward focus shapes and guides our lives. A forward focus is what keeps us on the right track. You know, to have a forward focus is to also have hope. If there's no forward focus, there's no hope. If we can't see a way out, if we can't see a way forward, we actually become sick in our soul. Have you experienced that? Proverbs talks about this very thing. It says in Proverbs 29:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you can't see a way forward, something happens to you on the inside. When hope is lost, it affects us in every way. Our physical body's affected, our mind's affected, our spiritual health is affected. I think as this pandemic has dragged on, people have struggled to keep hoping, to keep looking forward. I find many people talking about the future these days with doom and gloom. The consequences of this are everywhere. Many people are struggling with emotional health. Many people are struggling with discouragement and depression. I have found over the last 6 months to a year that I've had battles in these areas in ways I never have had in my life before. There's been a lot of disappointment in the last couple of years. It's been hard to keep looking to the future with anticipation. Well, church, today I want us to focus, to look at whether we've lost our forward focus by beginning to look at four signs that maybe would indicate this. Today we'll get to one. Next, in 2 weeks, we'll look at the other three signs. But as we do this, I want to help us realize that God wants us to look to the future with hope. God is not in despair as he looks forward. God has hope for the future to give to you and I. Without God, I think looking to the future could be a challenge. But with God, there's reason for hope. When we can see the future through the lens of who God is, we will see that there is reason to be full of hope in our lives. And I find myself, this message that I'm going to share for you this morning, this is where I am these days. This is what God has been teaching me, even over this last week, where I feel God keeps bringing me back to this place of trust, this place of looking to Him and realizing that if I can look at the future through who I know God is, it changes the way I see the future. When I look through the lens of who my Heavenly Father is, it's all different. And so today I want to turn our eyes back to who our God is. What's the first sign that you haven't got a forward focus? For me, it comes down to this. You lose your passion. To illustrate the 4 points, I want to take us back to my favorite parable, probably a favorite of many of yours, that Jesus told. One I've preached on different times because I love it so much. But it's that famous parable of the prodigal son. The context of Jesus telling the story was that Jesus was eating and drinking with some of the worst of society. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, were criticizing him for it. They were judging him for it. The religious leaders prided themselves on being righteous and holy, but truthfully, they were looking at their religious deeds as making them pleasing towards God, and they were wrong. In a sense, they thought that because of their good deeds, they were earning the approval of the Heavenly Father. But they had completely misunderstood the heart of God. They didn't understand who their Heavenly Father was. They didn't understand what makes a person truly righteous. And so in response to their criticism, Jesus tells them 3 stories. One of them was the story of the prodigal son. You see, when you don't understand God's heart, you don't see yourself correctly. You don't see those around you correctly, and you also don't see your future correctly. Jesus, in Luke 15, says, a man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I'll go home and to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill that calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And so the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry. He wouldn't go in, and his father came out and begged him. And he replied, all these years I've slaved for you, and you never once refused to do a single good thing, I never once refused to do a single thing. That makes a lot more sense. And in all that time, You never even gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. When I read this story of the prodigal son, the first thing that jumps out to me was that this boy got in trouble in the first place, right from the start, because he never had a forward focus. All he could see was what was right in front of him. That's where his passion was. He was so caught up in what he could experience right now. He fed the immediate gratification of his flesh. He lived an unrestrained life. He never looked ahead. He never saw the consequences of his actions. And the result was he ended up starving, craving the food that they were feeding the pigs. And when he looked to the future, he saw no way out. His poor choices seemed to have destroyed his future. He's jealous of the pigs. And the full realization one day as he's feeding the pigs and as he's jealous of them, the full realization of what he'd done hit him. What a mess he had made with his life. And so, with no hope for the future, the best plan that he could scrape together was, even the slaves in my father's house have a better life than what I have right now. Maybe I can go home and beg my father to just make me a slave. He's going to be angry with me. He's going to be so upset with me. I've lost the privilege of being a son, but maybe I can be a slave. That would be better than this. All he could hope for. He returns home demoralized. In complete survival mode. He was a beaten man who had lost his passion. You see, when you have no hope for the future, there is no power in the present. How you see the future is what gives you the strength for right now. I've seen this many times with sports. And I saw this very recently. In fact, 2 weeks ago with our Harvest City Senior Girls volleyball team. I don't think I've ever used volleyball as a sermon illustration, but I'm going to this morning. We went into the provincial championships a couple weeks ago, and we were ranked as the number one team in Saskatchewan in the 2A division. Yeah, I was pretty good. We started the season off rough and built as the year went on and ended up being ranked number one. Well, in the first game of the tournament, my daughter Asia, who's on the team, who's one of our strongest players on that team, she goes down in the first game of the tournament with a sprained ankle, a bad one. She's had injured this ankle in the spring, was out for 3 months. And here she goes again. She's down on the floor. I had some tears in my eyes. Ah, provincial championships of all things. I thought, we're done. She's one of our strongest players. We need her. And you could see that sort of look in the eyes of the girls. Oh, no. We quickly lost the game. And we only won one out of the four games in our round robin pool, even though we were the number one seed. By virtue of the one win, we limped into the playoff round as the fourth seed, meaning we would have to play the number one seed from the other pool in the first round. Things were not looking good. I was thinking, I'm going to be home early this Saturday. But there were two things to note. The first was that the team that had won first in their pool on the other side was the team we had beaten in the regional the week before to get to the provincial championships, to give us the number one seed. So there was already some doubt in their minds. And when they wandered into the gym, because they had been playing in another town in another gym, and so when they wandered in to play us in the quarterfinals, the whispers of the parents and even the girls were, how do we end up playing Harvest City in the first round of the playoffs? We're the number one seed, and we got to play Harvest City, the number one overall seed in the first round. And then they realized, oh, they're missing Asia. But we weren't just missing Asia, you see. We were missing another one of our best players, because she is a great athlete and was selected as part of this RBC Future Olympians program. And so she was in Saskatoon, 2 hours away, basically having an ID camp to maybe be a future Olympian. A great opportunity for her. So she had missed one of our games. So then her mom calls me up at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. We were to play the first round of the playoffs at 12:30. She's 2 hours away. Are you tracking with me here? She says, Joel, is there any point in us coming? I mean, we went 1-3 in the playoff round. We're going to play the number one seed. We don't have Asia. It's a 2-hour drive, and I'm an hour and a half from start time. Is there any point in coming? I said, she's like, I'm going to drive all the way, and then we're going to have to drive back. And I said to her, I don't know what to tell you, but I would sure love for you to try. And I may have even said, God will not mind if you have to push that right pedal a little harder. I'm not saying I said it. I might have said it. I might have even said, I'll help pay for the ticket if you get one. I would never endorse speeding publicly. I can't tell you whether I said it or not, whether I just thought it or whether the words came out. Okay, I said it. And a few other parents said, we'll chip in as well. I said, get here as fast as you can. I told Mark, stall for time. He's the coach. Call all the timeouts. You need a call. She's on her way. I don't even want to tell you how fast she told me she drove. We were thinking, if the girls could just hang in there, we might have a chance. Somehow, we are up 17-15 in the first set without Asia, without Nev, when the gym doors burst open. And Nev literally is sprinting from the car. I don't even think her mom put it in park. It was like the door opened. She jumped out, ran into the gym doors. We see Nev, and us as parents, we are like standing ovation. Woo! And it was just like I looked out onto the floor, and I looked at the other team, and I could literally see it in their eyes. We are losing by 2. They have one of their best players on the bench, and the second one we didn't think was coming, and she's here. We won very easily. Second set was like, I don't even think they had 10 points. And I was just watching that team going, they are a way better team than this, but they're defeated. They see no hope for the future. We're done, and they were done. And our team, all of a sudden, for the first time in the weekend, saw a way forward. We could win this thing. And they went on to become the provincial champions, never dropped a set. With one of their better players, my daughter, sitting on the bench. And I missed it because I was here to do a baptism. I did race home that day. I watched it later. But I saw something in those girls on the other team. I felt bad for them. They were so demoralized. I thought, you could beat us, but you don't believe it. How you view the future is what empowers you in the present. You know, we often talk about, how did Jesus go all the way to the cross? He's in the garden. He's agonizing. He's pleading with his father if there's any other way, sweating like drops of blood. Take this cup from me. He knew what he was about to endure. How did he do it? Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, he looked forward. He saw the future. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. How did he stay on there when they said, if you're the Son of God, come down off of that cross? He looked forward. He saw you. He saw me being rescued from the chains of sin. He saw us coming into relationship with the Father. He saw the enemy being defeated, chains broken off of our lives. He looked forward. And it gave him the power to endure the cross. The prodigal son, he had no hope for the future as he shuffled home, as he made the journey back. As he walked into the yard, he had one thought in his mind. Maybe I can be a slave. He was passionless. He was powerless. But my friends, he was looking through the wrong lens as he looked forward. He had a wrong perspective of his future. Why? Because he failed to understand the heart of his father. He didn't know the heart of his father. Somehow, growing up, he missed it. He thought he was going to get a beating. He thought he was going to get shame. He thought he was going to get ridicule. He thought that the best he could hope for was slavery, survival, because he didn't understand the heart of his father. But his passion and his hope were about to be restored. I love how this story says that his father saw him from a long ways away. You know what that says to me? That says to me that the father never lost hope for the future. That father envisioned a day when his son would return. His eyes were always on the horizon. He saw a future. In fact, it seems as though he was fattening the calf for just this occasion. Isn't that the way you read it? The calf was being fattened in anticipation and expectation that the son would return. Hope was alive in the father. His hope for the future had kept his passion alive. And so he looked ahead and he saw his son one day returning. And so he was ready to meet him on the day when he arrived. And one day, as he glanced with his usual expectation to the road leading into the yard, he sees his son in the distance and he races to meet him. I don't think the son saw him. I think his head was down in shame and despair. And it wasn't until he felt the embrace of his father. Somehow I feel like his father picked him right off the ground. And it wasn't until he felt the kisses on his cheek that he realized, I'm home. And he was about to learn something that would change his outlook forever. He starts to mumble the words he's been rehearsing. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven and I'm not worthy to be your son and please make me one of your hired slaves. But his words fell on deaf ears, because he didn't know the heart of the father. His father was already yelling to the servants, quick, get the best robe in the house. Get the sandals. Get the ring that says he's my son and put it on his finger. Get the calf out of the barn that we have been fattening for this very occasion. I've been anticipating this day. I've been looking forward. I could see it. The calf is ready. Kill him. How many of you would agree that in this moment, the son's hope for the future changed? It all changed in this moment. How many of you would agree that his passion for his life would have returned in this exact moment? Church, Jesus told the story for one reason: to help those Pharisees understand the heart of the Father. That Father in the story is your Father. That's your Heavenly Father. That's my Heavenly Father. You might not see a future for your life, but He does. You see, with God, there are no dead ends in life. He always has a plan for the future. In the book of Jeremiah, the people of Israel had made horrible decisions and horrible choices, and they ended up in slavery, and they ended up in a place where they had no hope and in absolute despair. And God comes to the prophet Jeremiah and gives him a prophetic word and says, "Tell the people this." And Jeremiah says these famous words: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and the places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I carried you in, from the place where I carried you into exile." Don't you love that? God always has a plan and a way forward. If the people would humble themselves, and this was the posture that my father challenged us to take last week, if the people would humble themselves, God would do something miraculous. He would do the impossible. He would make a way where there wasn't one. He would restore them. He had a future in mind for them. That's who our God is. He's our Father. He's like a GPS. You get off track, He's recalculating. He always has a plan to get us to our destination. He's always forward thinking. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He lives in the future. He's been where you're going. He knows how to get you there. Church, I've made no secret about the fact that I've had some moments in this year where my passion for the present had all but drained out of me. Sometimes I've struggled to see a way forward. But I've been challenged in my own personal life to begin to look at the future through a different lens. To begin to once again look at the future through the eyes of my Father, my Heavenly Father. And I want to challenge you this morning, church. Can you reframe your future by looking at it through the lens of your Heavenly Father? Do you see Him as one who is in control? Do you see Him as one who is able to make all things work together for His good, for your good? Do you see Him as the one who can make a way where there is no way? Do you see Him as the one who can take the bad situations and turn them around for His glory? Do you see Him as the one who has never given up on you, as the one who has never abandoned you, as the one who always has a plan to give you a hope and a future? How do you see your father this morning? It changes how you see your future. If you can see the future through the lens of your heavenly father, it changes everything. If my heavenly father's for me, what a difference that makes. Isn't that true? I think so many times we're like the prodigal. We forget who our heavenly father is. We forget his heart for us. We forget that he's always got a plan for us and a future for us. I think some of us this morning, we feel like we're in the middle of a pig pen. We feel like we're in a situation where there's no way out, where there's no hope for the future. Some of it is because of dumb choices that we've made, and some of it is just because life stinks. And things have happened. Doesn't matter how you get there. Is there a way out? I want to tell you this morning, there's a way out because we have a heavenly Father who has a hope and a future for us. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? I want to give an opportunity this morning for prayer for people. I believe that God today wants to give his people hope. I believe that God today wants to reveal his heart to some of you, all of you. Some of you have lost your passion in the present because you've had a hard time seeing a way forward. I believe that the Spirit of God is here this morning to restore some passion. I believe that God wants to wrap his arms around some of you today, to whisper in your ears, I still got a plan for you. I got a hope for you. I got a way forward for you. I'm the God of the impossible. I'm the God who can make a way where there is no way. God wants to whisper into some of your ears, I haven't abandoned you. I haven't turned my back on you. So I want to give you an opportunity as Andrew plays this morning. Why don't you just come out of your seat? If you feel like, I just need a touch from the Lord this morning, I just need somebody to pray with me, why don't you come? I'm going to give you a moment. Why don't you come? Is there anybody here this morning? Why don't you come? It takes a little courage to come today. Come. Come on. The Spirit of God is here. You know, I was in the office of my earthly father last Wednesday. He helped give me some perspective. He prayed for me. Something broke. Something broke in me. A good breaking. All right, God is still for me. He still likes me. Something powerful when we lay our hands on our brothers and sisters and declare the word of God and war against those forces of darkness that just want to overwhelm us with despair and hopelessness. We have our pastors and house church leaders and those that leaders in our church, would you just come quickly and just gather around the people that are praying? If you still need prayer, come on. Let's just begin to minister to those that are here. I'm just going to pray for those of you that are watching online. You can't respond this morning, but I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray for all that's tuning in today. Lord, I pray that for those that are feeling hopeless, I pray for those that are struggling to see a way forward. Maybe those that are even feeling condemned and ashamed, some of the situations they've got themselves in. My God, who's ever hearing the sound of my voice today and being touched by your Holy Spirit, I pray that they would hear words of hope. I pray that they would hear words of acceptance. God, I pray that despair would break off of the people of God. I pray that weariness would break off the people of God. God, I pray that they would hear the whisper of the Father. I pray that they would sense the kisses of the Father, the embrace of the Father. Father, I pray that you would restore passion, restore joy. For the joy set before you, you endured the cross. There was joy even in the enduring because you could see the future. God, would you restore joy to the people of God today? In Jesus' name.